So welcome everybody listening now and in the future. This is Monday Live. This is our celebration at the end of our Series 4 as we're heading into Series 5. And we are starting something new at APA called Join the Conversation. This is a chance for those of you passionate learners and who have deeply inquiring minds who want to understand our paradigm and have a chance to talk with experts, our graduates, our people that who have things that they've studied. It's also a chance for you to understand a little bit more about our paradigm if you're just visiting. So today, our topic for our conversation is conscious conception. And this is a very important topic. I mean, I think a lot of us going through puberty and being young people, what are we're always concerned, like, well, we don't want to get pregnant. You know, but then when you enter into a time of life when you want to get pregnant, sometimes it's super hard to get pregnant. And there's a lot of confusion around conception and around the possibilities and the shades of information that can come in and how it shows up in our culture, how it shows up in our society, how it shows up in our family practices and our education. It's pretty amazing when you start to enter into just being a passionate student of this kind of material. So when I started looking at conscious conception, you've got to look at like almost half our pregnancies in our countries. This is this United States. I don't know how it is in other countries, but the CDC, our governmental body that tracks health patterns, does track conception, which I find to be quite fascinating. How much they do track. They track a lot. And when I began to look at the data, at the time it was about 48.6% when I first started doing my research. Now it's down to 45% are not consciously conceived. And we know a lot that if you're not a wanted baby, these feelings can create a lot of imprints, like, you know, feeling not wanted, not welcomed, and it can translate into worldview and perspective, and that can be a layer as you go out into the world and develop relationships. It can even translate into behaviors, and I know that there's a lot of interesting data on looking at prison populations and things like that when it comes to conception, believe it or not. So when I began to look at the data, there's ways that they looked at conception, that conscious conception can be unplanned, untimed, or mistimed. That was an interesting scientific label, because those are people who find themselves pregnant and then like, well, I always wanted to have a baby, and that's the mistimed. So like, I'll just have a baby now. But then about 18% were truly not wanted pregnancies. And so today, what I'd like to do is to turn this our discussion over to two of our graduates. Today we have Vicki Jeter, who not only is one of our first graduates and gave presentation on conscious conception at one of our congresses. I think which one was that? In California, I think, Vicki, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm not remembering the year at this very moment. Might have been 2017.
I know, I don't remember, but it was a time when we had just started our PP&E program. Vicki was one of our first graduates and was a student of the year that year, and also she became a mentor. She's been solid and consistent and very passionate about this subject. And today she wanted to talk a little bit about just some of what she sees in our culture, particularly this movie, An Officer and a Gentleman. And then we also have craniosacral therapist and birth doula, Kirsten Markham. And she has created the Conscious Conception Circles, and she created a program for couples, which I've gone through, and it's so delicious. It's so nice, Kirsten. And if you go to her website, I hope you'll type that in, you can sign up and get one of the little meditations. I loved it. It was about feeling who your parents were, and I forget, what did you call it, Kirsten? You had a special name for it.
It's connecting to your ancestral lineage, so yeah, to connect to your mother and your grandmother's experiences, because we were all a part of that.
Right. So just, you know, she has this delicious program, and it came out of her passion that she learned in our PP&E program. And she can tell you a little bit more about the success she's had in working with parents. And maybe that might be something that you want to do too. What I would like to do is go ahead and start with you, Vicki. Why don't you talk for a bit, and then we'll come back to all of you and we'll see what you've got to say about conscious conception.
Thank you, Kate. And I am indeed so excited to be here today. As I have thought about the most effective way to make use of this 20 minutes, first of all, let me just offer you a little bit of backdrop why she mentioned an officer and a gentleman. For me, as I communicate to people what it means to think about conscious conception, it's about helping people to realize that it's not about the pro-life or pro-choice debate, because as we know, in either one of those situations, we're still dealing with an unwanted conception. And to help people understand that it's about catching it before that, that we need to move people to realizing that truly conscious conception is about recognizing that in order to circumvent the whole cascade of traumas that can happen in an unwanted conception, we have to move our culture into realizing an awareness of the power of sexuality and how those dynamics develop in such a way, and at what junctures are we making those choices that lead up to the potential for an unwanted conception. And so what's true as I'm discussing that with people is there are so many, every story of how people make their choices is unique. And at every point along the line, people believe they're making the best choice they can with what's going on for them at the time. And so as I've thought about how do I describe to people the atmosphere that would move us into the kind of regard that we need to have for the power of this paradigm that brings a child into the world where our culture can get it, that there has to be an understanding generalized that says there are certain things you just don't do until you're ready. And what struck me about that is driving, because driving happens at about the same age as puberty and the drive to enter into sexuality. And yet there isn't hardly anyone in our world that would say, oh yeah, just go hand the keys to a 14 or 15 year old and it'll be okay. They'll figure it out, right? Not gonna happen. People understand you don't do that. And so the passion that I come from is that it's possible. We just have to keep owning that it's possible to help people understand that sexuality is not only that same kind of importance, but even more. And so as I have had these conversations and been sort of massaging how I communicate that, all of the detractors come up about it's a primal drive and we're not going to be able to change that and all that stuff. And where officer and a gentleman comes into it is, first of all, let me just raise your hands. Who all has seen that movie? Okay, and there's several I can't see, but so most of you have seen it hopefully recently. I don't know how many of you saw that we would be talking about that a little bit today. But that movie is based on a true story. Two people in the overall breadth of the story died because of this issue of how we approach sexuality. And the main characters, Zach Mayo and Paula McGriffey, they were coupled in the movie. Both of them were unwanted conceptions, and it's not, or unplanned, and most probably were brought about through a social manipulation thing that comes out in the movie about how the cultures clash between the military base And the women who in the movie are called the Puget Sound Devs. And of course, when Zach was conceived, his mother wasn't a Puget Sound Dev, but the same kind of thing happened where it opens with Zach's story. And we see right away that his mother committed suicide because she got pregnant, presumably wanting to get his father to marry her, and which he wasn't going to do. And she hung on and hung on and hung on for like 12 years. We see Zach when he's 12, and he gets shipped off to an orphanage or a boy's home for a little while because the father didn't even respond after his mother died. And so then you start with the generational trauma, because this is repeated throughout the movie. They talk about how this happens cyclically. And then you meet other people that Paula was also an unwanted conception because her mother was a Puget Sound Dev, and Paula's father wouldn't marry her either. And so both Zach, who gets shipped off to his dad in the Philippines, he's following his dad's footsteps, becoming an alcoholic and a whore chaser, because that's all that he's modeled as a man once he gets to his dad. And Paula is back on, you know, goes over to the base every weekend, tracking the military guys that are coming through, just longing to make that connection, which the women see. This is where it gets interesting about what happens, is everyone's trying to get their immediate needs met. And so for me, one of our challenges in reaching people about the power of conscious conception is we have to see what it will take to make it personal. Why is it more important to consider the being that could come in? If I take this action, even though I'm wanting my needs met, I'm wanting to find a man that wants to marry me, or corner a man into marrying me because it's going to lift me out of my poverty and I won't be alone in the world. Somehow we have to find a way to get it to be personal enough to where people will realize that's not actually going to be my best choice, as people realize I don't want to give my 15-year-old a set of keys or my 14-year-old. Okay. And I think that's one of the questions to be addressed. And then another piece that is so evident in the movie has to do with what's called the trauma of omission. And the trauma of omission is what happens to babies that are unconsciously conceived or don't even get considered that they might be conceived. It's all throughout the movie. There's all these conversations and a lot of sex goes on, and no one ever actually talks about what are we going to do if we get pregnant. And all of that is fertile ground for the trauma of omission. And I think that this is something that we need to be teaching. So on the one hand, we're teaching about, we teach our people about that babies are sentient beings, right? But it's a whole different side of the story to teach people to be more aware of what is driving their choices, which actually is not about the baby. Because one of the things you see when you get to looking at how the trauma of omission happens is that even people who really want babies, it's just by luck for the baby that they happen to be wanted. If anything was to happen that circumvented the parents' readiness to have a baby, a whole lot of them would drop their concern for the baby pretty quickly. Not everybody. I realize not everybody. But you see really quickly how someone's own primal needs will cause them to shift their perspective on how they look at whether or not they want to have a baby. And so I'm going to take a little pause because I don't know how long I've been talking.
Well, it's about 12:15, but I'm really glad for you to have a pause and see if anybody has a response. Yeah, I think what I hear you saying, Vicki, is that that a lot of times, and this is portrayed in the movie and it's part of our culture, is that there's just a lot of unconsciousness around sexuality. And how can we help prepare couples, help prepare our young people for being parents and also support their sexuality, their pleasure.
Right.
Yeah. So, and we want our babies to be considered. So every time that you engage in sexual intercourse or whatever you're doing out there, that it is possible that you'll bring someone into form. So
right. Have you thought about that? So let me take just 3 more minutes to say okay. One other piece. So in the movie, ultimately, there's a lot of recapitulation that goes on. And recapitulation means it's a showing back up of the various traumas that have happened. And one of the recapitulations, it's major, happens actually in the second couple, who are Sid and Lynette. And Sid ultimately dies at the end of the movie. And I believe that that's the piece of this story that was true. And so on the one hand, you have a woman who's been influenced by a man's manipulations and died. On the other hand, you have a man who's been influenced by a woman's manipulations and died. And for Zach, the main protagonist, that's a recapitulation of when his mother committed suicide. And what I want to point out about that, though, about this whole thing about wanting our babies, it's really crazy awesome the way the people that did this movie, because Sid, the manipulation he falls prey to is his girlfriend does tell him that she's pregnant and she's not, and he buys it for long enough to get hooked into, you know, oh my God, here I have this responsibility. But what's the thing is that when she first tells him, he responds to her with this compassion, and he's like, and she's at first thinking, okay, well, if I was pregnant, you know, because and just right at the raw at the turn in that conversation, he says, oh, and when you get your abortion, I'll be right there with you, and I'll hold your hand, and all this stuff. And of course, she just deflates because he's, you know, he just wants her to have an abortion. Well, then the crazy thing is, after she says, no, I'm Catholic, I won't have an abortion, because she's still trying to get him to marry her, then all of a sudden he's like, well, there would be a child in this world and I wouldn't even know its name, because his friend is asking him, well, why are you even considering marrying this girl? And see, there's a thing there about people understanding how real it is. And that's what I mean about getting to people where they can feel it. Because before he can imagine, because she says she'll just go off and have the baby. So he says, well, if she goes off and have a baby, then there's going to be a kid in the world that's mine and I won't even know its name. But then that's after it's born. But before it's born, oh, just go, you know, wipe it off the face of the planet. And I'll just hold your hand and we'll be all good. And so, and then this is the part that gets me, is he says to Zach, because Zach says, women go off and do this by themselves all the time. Why do you care? And Sid says, well, caring about how we affect other people is what separates us from the animals. You know, how can we not care how we're affecting other people? But yet human beings are just about the only ones on the planet that will self-abort. And you're thinking, are you kidding me? And that the only turn there is whether or not the baby has been born yet. It's changed his whole perspective around. He was so afraid of what it would be like to have a kid he didn't know in the world. But it's like how to reach people with the fact that it's the same baby. Anyway, I just wanted to say that.
The same baby? I mean, the one...
The same being. So
on the inside as well as the outside, you mean?
Right, right. If he's imagining it after it's born, oh, I'm its dad, and how can I have a child in the world? But prior to that, he's like, oh, honey, we'll just go have an abortion, and it's all fine.
Mm-hmm. So not considering the baby sentience in utero, that it's a living being.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we've been working on that already, but to me, I did learn, I watched this, you guys, about 30 times. Taking a look at this, and I really think that the part of the key is not to focus as much on the baby part of it, but on the adult part of it, to see how we break through those barriers of perception, because mm-hmm. you can really see it's a thin barrier of perception between him wanting to just say, let's just go get an abortion, to all of a sudden, oh, caring about other people is separates us from the animals. And I wouldn't be a father and not know my kid's name. And you're like, okay, how do we?
Well, Vicki, what I'll ask you, and then I'll ask others in our circle before we turn to Kirsten. Like, what is your proposal to have, how to create this sort of, you know, leap, fill in the gap there?
Well, one of the things that I propose, because there's also, it's very subtle, but there's a very quick turn in the movie. Zach is helped by his mentor, the drill instructor, who's just a fabulous character. He shows up for just those weeks kind of as a father figure and really gets in Zach's face, so he doesn't end up going down the path of his dad. And then Paula, she also is lying to Zach, and she doesn't want to admit it at first, but she was going to go corner him when she thought he was going to leave her. And her mother catches her and says, oh, honey, I see what you're getting ready to do. Please don't make the mistake I did. And I believe we seriously need to start a grassroots effort to getting people to do circles of women and seriously start sharing our women's wisdom and getting younger women to talk about these issues, about the power of our sexuality and all of that kind of thing. Because women want to say that we get manipulated, but the problem is women need to know that they're the ones wiggling their hips. And I'm not saying that men are not responsible for their behavior. They are. But when we turn our young women loose in this world, not knowing that men have a massively developed visual cortex and the way that you move is going to attract them, you know, and other things like that. We need to teach women how not to come from a place of setting themselves up to be victimized and then feeling sorry for themselves when it happens. Like, I'll just say one more thing about that. That's what Lynette says is, I mean, because Lynette pours it on, man. She knows that sexuality will draw this guy in, and it does. And then later she says, well, you know, if they're just going to treat us like whores, then I just think they ought to be paying for it. Well, women have to figure them out, not how to not set themselves up. And the same for men. I think men seriously need to start doing men's circles where older men can teach younger men how not to be manipulated by a woman, number one. And number two, that they are responsible for what happens to them. And they also set themselves up to be manipulated in the sexual game. And it's just not a game. And I'll stop there.
Okay. All right. Okay, join the conversation. I see that there's some people posting here in the chat. Karen, do you want to sort of say what you're typing? I can't unmute you.
Oh, no, I just wanted to mention quickly, Vicki, that the grassroots circle you're talking about is exactly the model that started the movement against domestic abuse in this country. Some of you know that probably. That's all. It was just a comment. Grassroots circles, yeah, absolutely right. Very strong.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I also want to know what you all else are thinking, like circles of women, helping them understand their power and sexuality and supporting them and helping them understand their bodies, and men too. Sheila?
Yeah, I think it's important to ground this all in the biology. If we're I'm referring to the, what I call sovereignty of the egg that admit one, like Emily Dickinson says, the soul selects her own society and then closes. Take it back to the biology. If we don't want to take it back to morals because of all the nests, you know, that you get entangled in there, take it back to the biology.
Okay. Donna, why don't you go ahead and ask Vicki? Go ahead.
You unmuted me. Thanks.
Yeah.
Good morning. Yeah, I joined a couple minutes late, so I didn't hear the very beginning, but I'm inspired, Vicki, by what you're sharing. And I think the question that comes to me is, you know, what is driving people's choices about conceiving babies, and what is that for women? I don't know if you identified that. You know, is it our need to be wanted, our need to be loved, our sense of safety to be with a man? I don't know if you shared any thoughts around that. What is it that we as women, what's the message we have to get across to separate our own needs out from the needs of having a baby, or the baby's needs after we conceive a baby?
Vicki, your microphone is not on.
Okay, no, it's okay. On. I had somebody asked me to move it down for my breathing again.
Okay.
Okay, it's unique to every woman. In the movie, it was largely a profound drive to lift themselves out of poverty, because the gateway out was within view, and it's what their mothers had done and their mothers before them. And but the underlying common denominator, I believe, is to have enough of these conversations consistently enough and starting early enough as far as how people see themselves, to realize that these quick fix projected things that we think is going to help is not actually going to net them what they're looking for. Because, and that's kind of some of where it gets into to media and stuff like that, we have got to totally work our way, slowly as it might be, to start putting out messages about some reality, you know, because people think that if I can just get this guy to love me, it's going to solve all my problems, whether it be because she thinks she needs to be with a man or whatever it is. That's absolutely, that goes on. And ultimately, that's not the resolution to their challenge, and they don't know it. And they don't know it because they don't have anyone showing them.
Thank you, Vicki. And Mark, you had a comment as our one man here. I'd love to hear your voice.
Hi. Mm-hmm. My sense is this is a much broader issue about how individuals value themselves, how they relate to their own lives. There's so much pressure today to become sexual, and to things are so sexualized that it is almost like, you know, young people see that as the way to be valued, appreciated, and liked. And I think that takes away from a healthy expression of sexuality, of intimacy between two people, and becomes a focal point that kind of distracts from, well, who am I? What do I want to become? What role do I want to play in life? And I think we live in a sweeping statement. I think we live in quite an immature culture, in a sense. I remember studying for a master's some time ago, and one of the men on the course was an African chief, and you know, he was saying that the young men of the village aren't really allowed off the leash until they're in their late 20s, early 30s, you know. That's quite restrictive, but I, you know, my sense is that when they came out into playing a broader role in society, they had developed some maturity. And the same was for the women too, I think. There's something about that maturity, the development, valuing oneself, not getting overly focused on sex and sexuality.
Okay. Sheila, go ahead. I mean, I can't unmute you. You're going to have to unmute yourself for some reason.
Marcia Iliade, the historian of religion, talks about the importance of regressing to the womb. If we teach the children about their own beginnings, and maybe at some level activate or ignite a cellular memory of what this is, that would certainly embody the story in them. Uh-huh.
All right. So how, first of all, I just want to make sure you feel heard. Like I heard you say that, that really we need to be looking more at our, how we mature and the intimacy. And it's a cultural thing, you know, like I heard you talk about this man in Africa and how, you know, we've lost some of our sort of indigenous ways in some respects to help promote people's awareness of their bodies and their sexuality and their relations with others. Mm. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. I think we have to bring it to the level of human meaning, and how we understand the lives that we're living. I think biology, pre and prenatal psychology, they're all very important, but ultimately they manifest in a sense of meaning, of making meaning of our lives. So there's a spiritual dimension there, and we've lost touch with that, you know.
Yeah, I'm curious about that, but I also want to, Sheila, I want you to feel heard as well, that I hear you over there trying to bring it back to our biology, to our cells, to the patterns that start from within, because that's what we study in pre-perinatal work. We're looking at patterns and how we're shaped. We're shaped by culture, we're shaped by society and family, and we're shaped by our biology too. And so, you know, sometimes it can be surprising how just a little bit of an awareness around the mystery of coming into form will change someone's perception of themselves. So I hear you looking at the mystery and also the biology and bringing that together. And I agree with you, Mark. And I feel like we have some films of the man, what's his name, Jim Prescott, in our program. And he talks about what makes a peaceful culture in his perception of all the study. There were two things that he felt like created peaceful culture. Does anyone here know what those might be? Want to hazard a guess?
Probably our beginnings.
Yeah, he said breastfeeding.
Well, survival, safety, and protection is at the bottom of the pyramid of human needs for safety and trust and protection.
Well, he said the two things that he observed in all of his study that made a peaceful culture was breastfeeding. He's a big proponent for, in many cultures, breastfeed up to the age of 4 or 5. And helping support healthy sexuality in young people. That it was acceptable cultural and societal moray to have pleasure in sexuality. And so I think this is in our module 7. If you all are interested in learning from Jim Prescott, he's one of our founding sort of pioneers and did a lot of research with monkeys and looking at bonding and attachment. And he did a whole DVD called The Roots of Violence. And it was his passion to study what makes peaceful culture. And so what I'd like to do now is sort of switch over to talking with Kirsten for a few minutes, because she's a part of our join the conversation here. And I'm still holding, Vicky, your question about how do we bridge the gap between Sid saying, well, I don't want a kid out here that's mine and I don't know his name. Like, how can we bring the consciousness earlier? I really am taking away that from your passionate talk about this cultural, what you're seeing in this movie. And so Kirsten, I think, has part of the answer. Kirsten, why don't you talk a little bit about your work and about what you want to share with us today?
Yeah, thank you, Kate. So I've been a part of the birth community in San Diego for 8 years, and I'm a doula, a pre and perinatal educator now, and a craniosacral therapist. And as I was finishing up the APA program, I was talking more and more with my mentor, Karen Melton, about how to reach couples preconception, because I've been integrating the birth psychology into my doula practice for about 6 years, but I felt like I was always reaching these couples too late. It was too late to talk about their own birth experience when they were 20 weeks pregnant. So I just started brainstorming some ideas with Karen, and she really encouraged and pushed me to start leading women's circles. She said, just get started. Just start holding circles and seeing what women are saying. And so I did. 2 years ago, I started my conscious conception circles, and I would invite up to 5 women to come. And I had women that I knew, women that I had never met, and really ranged in their backgrounds. So some women were having fertility challenges and experienced losses. So they were just looking for more information and I think just support around that. But I also had women who were single and could already feel a spirit baby or a little soul around them that they wanted to connect to even prior to being in a relationship. And so these circles really gave me the opportunity to share some of the knowledge that I have and also just to learn. And I really love these circles because I get so much out of communing with women, and something that I really look forward to holding, which I've tried to do monthly as much as possible. But as I was leading these circles, I realized that I was leaving out partners, and that didn't feel holistic to me to just work with the women. So I created a conscious conception series for couples to go through. And I had a various different ways that I've led the series so far. But finally, earlier this year, I landed on just leaving it online for couples to move through at their own pace. And it's broken up into 3 segments. The first part is connecting to your own story. The second part is connecting to your partner. And the third part is opening beyond the 5 senses and connecting to your future child. And so as I was creating the series, I also started seeing couples in my craniosacral practice who were going through, I had a couple that were going through fertility challenges, and then one group that was going through just exploring preconception. And so they hadn't even started trying yet. They just wanted to be proactive. And so I saw each of the couples for a series of 6 sessions. And so the first session was all around just us getting to know each other and creating that relationship. I would share some foundations of craniosacral therapy and led them through tuning into their own systems and also how to negotiate space and contact with each other as partners. And then the following 2 sessions, I saw them individually. The following 2 sessions after that, I would have one partner on the table and the other partner, what I had intended was the other partner would be co-facilitating the session with me and we would be working on their partner. What ended up happening was I was more so co-facilitating the session with them. The partner was really leading the session work and I really got to sit back and just observe them tuning into the work of craniosacral, tuning into each other in a different way. And it was really beautiful. And then we had a final integration session together. And so all of those couples also took my online series as well. And I don't know, as I'm talking about it, it's the major theme in all of my work and my circles in the series in my craniosacral practice is I wanted to create an experience for people to really embody this information and for me to not just talk at them. And so now I'm just talking at you. So what I would like to do is to just share with you my opening exercise from my conscious conception series for couples. So that way you can get a sense of some of what I share. A lot of the series is guided imagery. There's exercises that I've recorded that they can do with their partner. There's partner and journaling prompts, conversation prompts. But this is how I open the series. So that way you can get a little bit more of a felt sense of it. So I invite you all to just make yourself comfortable for the next couple minutes and to go ahead and close your eyes when you feel ready. And just take a few deep breaths in and out. And as your breath begins to deepen, feel the earth coming up to support you. Feel your hips making contact with where you are sitting. And just notice any tension in your body. And just see if acknowledging that tension, if it begins to soften or melt away. Now sense within your body a center line running vertically from the base of your spine through your head. This is your midline. Get a sense of what your midline feels like today. Is it bony and structured? Does it feel more fluid? Is there a sense of light shining? And just take note of what you observe. Let's begin at the very beginning, when you were just one cell. The sperm and the egg joining in union to become you. You are a sentient being from the beginning. Both egg and sperm hold direct experience of being inside your mother and grandmother's womb and carry ancestral influence. Their experiences are a part of you. Sit with this connection for a moment. As an embryo, you are comprised mostly of water. Get a sense of what it feels like to be that fluid, to be that soft, that free-flowing. Allow your body to melt into that sensation and honor the journey by resting in stillness. From stillness, you begin to form your human body. The structure of your body organizes in relationship to your midline. This primal midline, spiraling, uprising, now lives within your vertebral bodies. Cells begin to divide each day as you float into your mother's inner ocean. You hatch from your protective membrane and search for a place to implant. You may feel a sense of urgency here, or blissful as you come into connection with your mother. Just continue to breathe. Notice, do you feel welcomed? Is it warm or cold? Do you feel as though you can settle into your new home? What is the overall sensation here? And where do these memories live in your body now? Come back to the sensation of fluidity, warmth, softening. You are safe. You've made it. cells along your midline become your heart, and a powerful ignition occurs. You lengthen so that you can begin to fold. You are perfectly whole with your heart as your center throughout development. From this wholeness, cells differentiate and the individual parts fall from the whole. You are becoming more embodied. Tune in to that innate wholeness that is always present and feel the rhythmic beating of your heart. What feels good in your body right now, in this moment, today, Monday, August 12th? What feels whole? Connect to your arms and your legs. Begin to wiggle your fingers and toes. Orient once again to the midline running through your body. What is the sensation there now? How has it changed? When you are ready, you can slowly open your eyes, coming back to your room. And seeing who is with us on the screen. It feels really still, even though we're all miles apart. So in that exercise, I share briefly how the sperm and the egg meet in union and they rest in stillness. And so when they rest in that stillness, they're awaiting the instructions on how to form the human body. And so what I wanted this series to be for couples is that stillness. They're coming together from separate journeys, but they're joining together to grow their family, whether that be through natural conception, IVF, even adoption. And this series is for them to take that moment to pause and to really see what needs to happen in their lives to invite that child in and for that growth of their family to occur. And so it's been really cool to see. I've had about 10 to 12 couples go through it now so far. And it's been cool to see their experiences and just to check in with them throughout and see how things change, because, you know, a lot of them sign up because the goal is to have a baby and that looks differently for everybody. And so as they go through this material and find their way, by the end of it, it can look a lot differently than when they started. So I offer the series online so anybody can access it. And I have two different options. The first one is they can just purchase and move through it at their own pace. The other package, they can move through it online just like they would with the first package, but sprinkled in there are a couple sessions with me so that way we can dive a little bit deeper and I can support them through their unique experience a little bit more. Yeah, thank you so much, Kate, for asking me to be a part of this.
Yeah, wow. I love it. It's like the antidote. You're the answer, Kirsten, to our cultural problem that Vicky was presenting us with. You know, your program bridges that gap and brings sort of awareness and consciousness to how to conception and how to bring some, you know, some care and attention and possibility to, you know, consciousness essentially to our to how we are made, how we come into form. So I invite you all to go to her website. I posted it in the chat. At least when you sign up, you'll get her free guided visualization connecting to your maternal lineage. That's worth the price of ponying up your email. You know, it is, because it's true. We are on a continuum, a cellular continuum with of influences from our ancestors. And I invite you to look at her model and know that, you know, she is one of our students and brought who she was to our material and has created something that really gives families a chance to start with this idea that Vicki was talking about, that there is somebody in there, a conscious being. And you also do circles for women too, don't you, Kirsten?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. I've been leading the circles for women for about 2 years. So that's ongoing. That's if you're local to San Diego. I've been considering putting that online as an option, so that way women who aren't local to San Diego can still have some support. But right now, yeah, they're local circles.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so join the conversation. Anybody out there have a comment about this consciousness coming into form? Let's see, Rita, I can't unmute you. Can you unmute yourself?
Yeah. Well, first of all, Kirsten, I have to say you have the most wonderful melodic voice that I felt like I just cozy up, and I want you to be my mommy.
Thank you. The fifth grade little girl in me is thanking you so much, because I used to get made fun of for my voice.
You transmit that stillness that's necessary, and I just think that, you know, I mean, and I teach this in my workshop, I think people don't realize the power of their being, and your being is very powerful, and you emit that stillness that you've been practicing, and I just want to say that it's pretty remarkable, you know. So
thank you so much.
You're so welcome. I really love it. I love the exercise too.
Thank you. That means a lot.
Yeah, go ahead and invest in her course and you'll get a whole lot more. Okay, anybody else want to join the conversation? Thank you, Rita. It's like, here's a chance for us to really begin to feel that embodiment. How was your midline at the end? I don't know about you, but mine shifted and changed. I'm happy to share, but does anyone else want to share how that meditation went for them?
I'll share since I'm still on.
Okay.
But my experience at the beginning was, and I've had this once before when I did like a prenatal session with Wendy McCarty, and you know, in my lineage, it's just like Polish. My parents are first generation, so all my grandparents were immigrants that never learned English. And I just, you know, the first time I experienced it was overwhelming oppression. And this time I had the experience of it, but not in the sense of me being dragged into it, but more being able to be like a witness to it, mm-hmm. and kind of appreciating how much freedom I've acquired through the years, in that sense that it's a part of me, but it doesn't have as much hold on me as it has. I'm not saying the page is totally erased, but I could really notice the difference. And, you know, I've had surgery on my back, so that's something that's also was remarkable, that I had a sense of, at the end, I had a better sense of my spine. So that was really great about the exercise too, on a personal level.
That's great. I'm so happy to hear that. Can I share a quote really quick?
Yeah.
It's from
Yap Vanderwal.
Sorry. But he says, he's an embryologist, and he says, man is not reproducing himself. Two parents do not recreate themselves in their offspring. Every human conception is a matter of three, a third one. And so it sounds like you're getting kind of that perspective of, you know, I believe we choose our parents and we choose what we come into. And so it sounds like you were able to get maybe a little bit more of that perspective from the outside again and looking in a different way.
Yes. Thank you.
Great.
Sheila, can't unmute yourself. I can't. There you go.
Thank you, Kirsten. I have been developing a labyrinth product as a pre and perinatal teaching tool. You touched on conception, you touched on implantation, and you touched on forming a heart. And then we're embodying this right now. So the last woman that was just up, I can't remember, we shared a room at the APA conference. But my point is that we need to work with adult women post reproductive, but in generativity, so that they can be the outer circle that supports their inner circle, and while they're doing their own birth healing. So that's how I'm using my work, and I'm interested in how you've broken it down, because I want to do the same thing for or springboard off of yours or use yours to apply to adult post-generativity women.
Yeah, I love that.
So I'll be communicating with you. Thank you.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, that makes complete sense to have the outer circle supporting the inner circle. If we could regenerate that, that would be really beautiful in our culture. Sheila Mark Hunt wants to know if your labyrinth is available. I'm guessing
yes. There are
others who want to know too.
Yes, yeah. Yes, it is available. I'm working on pricing it right now. I'm taking it to a labyrinth conference in October. So thank you, Mark, for your interest. I'll put my email in the chat.
Yeah, put your email there. Other people can contact Sheila. Just for your information, she's also one of our graduates. And she has developed a model of working with midlife crisis as well as sort of spirituality and working with older generations. One of the few outliers that are doing some, but a lot of our graduates are doing amazingly unique work. But I think Sheila's bringing something quite unique. So, and you do have a website too, right?
Yes, I'll put that in the chat. Thank you.
All right, great. Okay, so we just have a few more minutes here in our Join the Conversation time, and I hope you've really enjoyed the richness of the ideas and the things that have come here and our graduates as they integrate the work that they've studied at APA. Does anyone have any questions, or are there people here that want to stay after and ask questions about our PP&E program, or if there are students here, if you have any difficulties you want to share with me, I'm happy to stay a few minutes after. But are there any last minute sort of, hey, Kate, this is what's on my mind, or any feedback or thoughts that have been thought of today around conscious conception? Wait, Vicki, go ahead, Vicki.
I'm wondering if there are people that would like to see the papers that I wrote that accompany this, how can I, find out how to get them to them, or do they just contact me individually? I just put my email in there. I was just wondering.
Well, I think Karen's planning on putting them up in our go join the conversation.
Good.
They're going to be posted with this recording, and this recording goes in the series 4 file, but it's also going to be available to everyone who registers in our free content. So Kirsten and Vicki, so you both know, this is going to go live in our free content module on the Teachable website. We have over 800 people in that right now, and so people will come in and just see it and can listen to it and see any materials that are uploaded there. It won't live there forever because we're going to be rotating out our free content, but so you know, that's where you all can find it. And if you're listening now and you want to know where to find this later and you're not one of our students, you can just go into the free content area at the Teachable our class womb. Okay, any more questions, comments? Our next conversation is on baby body language. It's again with one of our students, a very accomplished chiropractor and someone who's been studying pre and perinatal imprinting and the baby's experience for many years, Ann Matthews. She's a teaches about baby body language now. She's been even over to the United States to teach. Her name is, she lives in the Belfast, I think. She's in Ireland. But she's going to talk to us about how babies tell their story with their body and their gestures. And it comes out of the work of Carlton Terry, who was one of our pioneer pre and perinatal educators and practitioners who specializes in the baby story. So you'll get a chance next time to hear Anne. She's really been wanting to do presentations. I've been encouraging her. So you'll get a chance to hear one of our students and someone who's wanting to become more of an educator out in the world. So we'll see you all next Monday for another one of these Join the Classrooms. I'd love to hear some feedback if you want to email me. This is a new thing for us, and so I would love to hear your experience. And if you have any questions, you can linger. I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording now. Okay. And if anybody here has to...